Welcome to Church Drunk, a spirited conversation about faith, reason, and libations. I'm Dizzy, ever present with my co-host guest.
Hello.
Here to welcome you and let you know that you should be aware that we swear and use grown-up language sometimes, almost every time.
Yeah.
And that we are on the more irreverent side of our hermeneutical spiral. We will dabble into things that are not necessarily traditionally respectful.
We may be fishers of doubt.
Yes, but you know, that's how you make it your own.
Yeah,
Like that.
Totally.
We're Catholic, but you don't have to be to listen. We're happy you are here with us.
Are we?
And, well, I am. Okay. I'm always happy that...
Speak for yourself. If people are still listening to us...
that's cold.
I almost feel sorry for them.
No. Yeah. You're great. Stick with it. Let us know. and back to that libations part, the spirited portion of Church Drunk.
Indeed.
What are you sipping today, guess?
Well, I have a Belching Beaver Milk Stout Nitro.
The name of that is so gross.
Belching Beaver Brewery. Apparently out of Oceanside, California. This is the first time I've had any of their brew. It came in a sampler pack from the Cost Plus.
The world market.
It's quite good, actually.
You know what? It smelled good when I sipped it or smelled it there, but I don't like the whole milk part. Like, milk stout? Like, ugh.
Well,
like, beaver milk? Like, were some poor little beavers, like, milked to make this stoutiest of stouts for you?
Pretty sure that milking the beaver is a euphemism.
Yeah, I wasn't even going there. So this is why it's a gross drink.
But it's really good. You get the lactose kind of back end.
Okay.
I don't know which end the lactose comes from. What are you drinking, Diz?
I'm sticking on the safer side of creamy beers with a cocoa brown.
Safe side of creamy beer?
Yeah, there is. It's where you get it from a coconut.
Okay.
And no mammals were involved.
Okay, yeah, fine. Yeah.
Even in the naming of it.
This milk is just a nut instead of a beaver? Good call.
I'm sorry. I'm drinking Kona Brewing Company's cocoa brown, and it's delicious. It's got toasted coconut. It's a nice brown, smooth ale to help the winter feel more like summer.
This got dirty fast.
Cheers.
Cheers. So we are currently post-Christmas season.
Mm-hmm.
But last episode we were talking a little bit about Feast of the Epiphany, which is kind of like the end of the 12 days of Christmas.
Yes.
But the official end of Christmas season actually came like midweek. Which was the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord.
The Theophany. You go from Epiphany to Theophany.
Wow.
Oh, you know, I paid for some of this shit.
That's a 5-cent word if I ever
heard
one.
Falls right out of my mouth.
Okay. So, Theophany, the Baptism of the Lord.
Yes.
And it's an interesting episode in the Gospels.
It appears in all four Gospels, which is not typical for Jesus' biographical details.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, there's actually like a lot of, and we're not going to get into it too much, but a lot of like theological debate about why would Jesus be baptized or need to be baptized or choose to be baptized? And nobody can really know for sure.
Yeah.
But they've got a lot of opinions about it. But like, he did. He, like, everybody agrees. All the gospels agree. Yeah. He did.
I feel like growing up at, like, Catholic school, it's kind of like, or Sunday school or whatever it is, it's kind of like, okay, well, you know, everybody knows that Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
And they make it sound, though, as if Jesus kind of shows up. Like, John the Baptist is there. He's in the desert. He's eating locusts. He's preaching. He's telling everybody to repent. And Jesus just, like, shows up one day and is like, hey, cuz, baptize me.
Right.
And John the Baptist somehow knows that, like, Jesus is the Messiah, right? Which is the story of, like, John leaping in the womb. Like, there's some inherent knowledge
that he recognizes.
But, like, the scholarly opinion of it is more of the sort of opinion that, like, Jesus was most likely a disciple of John the Baptist, that Jesus was studying under or with or alongside John the Baptist somehow.
Yeah, I mean, John the Baptist was a well-known, like, itinerant preacher, which was a thing at the time, and Jesus certainly knew of his ministry and was either, if not a follower of John, like, would have participated in some way.
Right.
Like, knew about it. It doesn't seem plausible.
They would have known each other some way, somehow.
Yeah, and maybe Jesus was coming in and out of the scene and, like, you know, decided that was the day he was going to get baptized.
Right.
But that kicks off his ministry. So I think it is an important story.
It is.
And it's like a very symbolically rich story.
You know,
the dove coming down, the voice of God.
The heavens open up and all these things. And it does give us the basis for the beginning of most Christians' lives, which is baptism, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's one of the things where you can say, okay, well, we do this because Jesus did it. Eucharist, we do it because Jesus told us to do it. You know, like there's all these different things. Confirmation, not so much. I have hang-ups about confirmation.
There's a scriptural basis for all sacraments, yes. Made-up
sacrament.
But at least for baptism, we have a clear one. And this is where, like, our Protestant friends will sometimes be like, how dare you baptize babies, blah, blah, blah. You know what, motherfuckers? Like, those kids don't get to pick anything anyway.
Well, and this is a question that I had for a long time. Like, why would Jesus be... First of all, what faith was Jesus baptized into, right? Because when we think of baptism, we think of conversion, right? Like, somebody who is... either being baptized into the Christian faith as like a baby or a child, or converting and therefore needs to be baptized. And it's like
initiation more than conversion.
And it was, well, and the
idea. But even for Jesus, it was probably more in the Jewish tradition of a cleansing, right? Like washing in water is very and Jewish. This is not a new thing for them.
The whole concept of conversion does not necessarily originate with a jump from one religion to another. It's about turning your heart to God, right? Mm-hmm. So John the Baptist was out there and he was like, come be cleansed and turn your heart to God in a whole new way through this ritual of baptism, right? And so we've kind of like we steal everything from the pagans. we've stolen a little bit of like this idea that baptism is the beginning of your religious life or a change in your religious life. Like, it's really kind of a renewal of something that was already there.
And I don't know, like, in fairness, I think we do incorporate lots of, like, baptismal renewal things in our practice. Like, even just, like, blessing yourself when you enter a church.
Once you go through that first one,
you're renewing your baptismal promises.
Harkening back to it,
I'm actually pretty cool with baptism. I think that's of all the sacraments, I feel baptism I can get behind.
But it was a question that I had never asked myself until, like, I don't know, like, a few years ago. I was like, wait. Jesus was baptized, but he didn't become a Christian. Like, how was he, what does this mean in his life? And it was his sort of symbolic entrance into a new level of spiritual connection.
Right.
And that's when the shit hits the fan for Jesus.
It gets real quick.
3 years. And then, done.
Then he's out. Peace out. Yeah. I mean, that's always a trippy thing to remind, you know, younger students or people of that, like, his ministry is so short in the span of his life. And that's something we talked about today a little earlier. We wanted to hit on, we don't know that many stories of the early years. You know, we have... in Matthew and Luke, we have some, you know, birth stories of Jesus that don't correspond necessarily to one another.
You get the infancy narratives.
We know he's born.
Mostly made up-ish.
They're symbolic.
They're very symbolic.
You know, and that's kind of true for, like, anybody's birth story. Like, I mean, I give him a big pass on that. But then we don't know a lot from his childhood stories. We know Nazareth was, like, a podunk town.
Right.
There's got to be stories of Jesus, but...
He was born in the backwaters of Galilee, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, right.
So he was... And the whole... The infancy narratives thing is interesting because there's similarities and differences, you know, between the two. And not to get, like, too
academic about it. They're stylistically chosen.
They build off of each other. It's very popular right now to be like, well, Jesus came from a family of refugees, right? Mm-hmm, they fled to Egypt. And it's probably not, right? Like, people in Galilee couldn't really afford to just run off to Egypt to escape oppression.
And
like,
there's
they were kind of stuck.
Historical evidence that there was even the massacre of, like, the first, those little baby boys, which was the feast I could not remember a couple church drunk episodes ago. It's the Holy Innocents. Yes. You know why I forgot that one, folks? Because it's not real.
And it didn't actually
happen. Yeah, and it's sad because that's a great story. But it's a borrowed story, probably not a historical story.
Even the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, in terms of like during the time of the reign of Quirinius and da 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 da, and he sets up all these historical details that actually don't line up. So in some ways, he may be telling everybody like, in a far off fantastical world,
a long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
Exactly.
Okay. Which all stories are true. Some actually happened. Totally. We're not too hung up about that. Okay,
but
so what
else? Interesting that we go through such a rigmarole to give ourselves the infancy narrative details.
Yeah.
And then there's 30 years with two stories.
Okay, yeah. So I was going to say, what are the other stories? We know he was born, and we actually do have historical evidence where we can be scientifically pretty certain that there was a person, you know, Jesus of Nazareth. Okay.
Whether or not there was a supernova, we don't know.
Yeah, there might have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So he's born. And then what's another story?
The next one is the presentation in the temple, right?
Yeah. Like, so he's a good Jewish boy with good Jewish parents.
You are presented and given a name in the temple, right?
And get your penis cut.
And, well, yeah. And that part too. I don't like to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's...
It's wrong.
Yeah.
But okay. So Jesus gets presented in the temple, but this miracle kind of happens. It's a very sweet story.
Yeah. And it gives rise to, like, some of my favorite lines where it's like, my soul cries out and my spirit rejoices. Yes. For God has looked with favor on his holy servant, because there's this woman that lives in the temple, and she's kind of a servant, a person. Wait, no, that was the Magnificat that I was just saying.
You're saying the Magnificat, but, you know, Simon or Simeon and Anna in the temple. Anna is the one. And they're both old.
And they say something different that I claim
They say that the scriptures have been fulfilled in their presence that day, that they see it come true, because they both had a prophecy that they wouldn't, I hope it's both of them, one of them at least, that they wouldn't, that they would get to see the Messiah before they died.
Right.
So, and Anna might echo the Magnificat, which is an echoing of Hannah's song, Samuel's mom. So that's a very Jewishy thing. Maybe she said something like that.
All I know is it's part of when you do Taze, and there's this great song, but I'm always so in the zone when I Taze that I don't even know.
Guess goes this mystical level, guys, where nothing makes sense and it all converges as one.
But there's this beautiful moment where they realize at the presentation that they're in the presence of the Messiah, and they're like, oh my gosh, like
weep for joy. There's
God
this,
has fulfilled his promise and shown me that there are great things on the horizon.
Yep, and now I can die.
Yeah, basically now I can die in peace. You know?
Mary and Joseph were like, cool. We were kind of concerned that this wasn't the real deal, but it is. No, I'm just kidding. They probably were very sure.
It's the now in peace, O Lord song. Now in peace, O Lord.
Okay.
Your servant.
Yeah, because they're dying.
Because they are. Like, it's the end of their life. They're peacing out. But with their final days on earth, they have seen the Messiah.
You know, if anybody to envy, it's probably those two, because they didn't have to witness, like, all the suffering. They got this, like, assurance of, like, the goodness of it. We're like, and now I can go to sleep in peace.
Totally. So there's this presentation in the temple. Jesus is named and cut.
Yep. Snippity snip.
And if you were going back to, like, Samson, that's the time where, like, he's left in the temple. Like, they used to bring children
a Nazarite
to, like, dedicate them to God and, like, leave them there. But, like, that's not Jesus' story. He is brought back home.
Yeah. Well, he's a first son. So that's also traditional, right? Like, the first son kind of belongs to the temple or to God.
Yeah.
Even if it's not being left there. Okay, so
then there's this crazy story later on, right? We don't know how old Jesus is. He's, you know, he's probably, like, he's in that coming of age time. He's young, which coming of age happens a lot earlier.
Sure, 12, 13.
Yeah. But I kind of imagine him as, like, junior high age, basically, when this is happening.
Little knucklehead.
Where the family goes to Jerusalem.
Which would have been, like, a caravan-style trek for them. They're, like, almost 200 miles.
The whole gang.
So they're going to make this big effort to get to the holy city of Jerusalem for the High Holy Days.
Right.
So this is probably something they were not able to do every year. This is probably, like, a couple times in Jesus' childhood, maybe only once.
Yep.
And they get down there, like, days and days of, like, probably fun traveling, I would think. Like, road tripping.
Right, road tripping. And then you slaughter some stuff in Jerusalem.
Right. But it's this exciting, festive time with all your family in our town. Like, Nazareth only had, like, 300 people. So, like, you know everybody. Like, I imagine a lot of their friends were going.
Well, and that's, so then on the way back, Jesus goes missing. And the first people that Mary and Joseph turn to are their friends, right? Yeah. Like everybody else. Hey, like, we kind of assumed that Jesus was with you. And they're no, he's not with us.
Right, so you can imagine it was big caravan style, and a kid who's got a bunch of buddies might just be hanging out. And I guess they were not helicopter parents.
Also, Mary
took
and
them a couple days.
We're not going to their friends saying, or Joseph. Mary and Joseph, we're not going to their friends saying, we thought Jesus was with you. It was more like a Yeshua, like whatever
you
were. Like, where is this guy, right? But they weren't like, we've lost Jesus. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, have you heard of him? Right? Like, they're just going around being like, we lost our kid.
Our immaculately conceived son.
But they're not freaking out that much until, you know, probably like a day or two goes by. Kind of like, you know.
Yeah, they don't even turn around. So, like, I mean, props to them for not being helicopter parents, but their kid actually was missing.
Yes.
So they're probably pretty annoyed that it's like hoof it back down the road.
They have to turn around. It's not like everybody stopped.
I don't think everybody turned around with them.
They have to go on their own back to the temple, right? This is going to delay their return to work. This is going to delay chores and labor and things that are, like, it's an interruption
to
their life.
I'm sure.
Yeah. And they go back and they find him in the temple. And he's teaching the teachers, basically.
Yeah.
So
people in the temple would, like, gather with, like, local teachers and, like, hear the word explained, like, hang out in the steps. The whole deal, and he's in there like he's one of the, like, learned teachers who are teaching people who've come from far away.
And they're all amazed at his knowledge.
Yes, he's just blowing, like, their little savant, right? Yeah. The little prodigy.
This child is so amazing. But Mary shows up and she's like, asshole, what the hell?
Yeah, excuse and us.
Jesus is like,
son.
Very, you know, like pubescent response is like, woman, this is not your concern. Don't Ooh. You know that I'm supposed to be in my father's house?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, hell no.
Right. Oh, I am no. not ready for this yeah. level of sass.
Like, yeah. this is the point where I imagine her grabbing him by the ear and, like, yanking him out yeah. the door and being yeah. like, no, we're going back to Nazareth.
Right. Yeah. Like, you may be the promised Messiah, right. but I am your sinless yeah. mother, right. so you will get your little just, ass back up to
just
Nazareth.
Just because God is your dad does not mean I am not your mother.
Right. So that's kind of a little insight to that family dynamic. And, like, Joseph is
and
always,
also
like,
maybe
silent.
Ours.
that can be real to anyone else. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. No. So Joseph, though, is, like, kind of just always silent on these things. Yeah. I just imagine him as, like, this older, like, sweet dad right. figure being like, oh, Mary and Jesus. Like,
listen to your mother.
Doo-doo.
Yeah, totally.
All right. So they take him back up.
And then
fast
that's
forward,
it.
He's
he
grown.
He grows in wisdom and knowledge and body and everything else.
And I think
and
that's
else.
An important line
yeah.
is that Jesus grows in wisdom and knowledge.
Right.
Because I think there's a temptation to say that, you know, he already knew everything, but, like, he had to learn.
Yeah.
He had to learn, like, dude, you have to still finish your human duties
totally.
Here. You don't get to, like, just fast forward.
Absolutely.
So he did grow in wisdom and knowledge, just as we hopefully do.
Hopefully, yeah.
But
and then fast forward, like 20-ish years, and all of a sudden there's Jesus getting baptized, which
yeah.
is, like, you go from Christmas to the baptism of the Lord in,
yeah.
like, less than 2 weeks, two
right.
and a half weeks,
right.
thereabouts. And it takes Jesus like a lifetime
right.
to get there.
20 years.
Half
and
a lifetime, whatever.
Because we don't know what happened.
Yeah.
So there are like the unofficial, like the non-canonical gospels,
right.
particularly the gospel of like Thomas,
yes.
which is like lists like
Hilarious.
All these crazy stories. But that was written in the second century. So it's probably not any more accurate than what we
yeah.
could imagine.
It's definitely more like distant from the actual life of Jesus
yeah.
than most of the, you know, there's a reason why like learned people and people who had a vested interest in portraying some version of Jesus, a theological truth, a historical truth, they came together. They said,
yeah.
all right, these four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they're the ones that actually do the job. But the Gospel of Thomas is fascinating because it gives you this image of Jesus as like kind of a petulant child. Like,
I mean, it is kind of how you would imagine
yeah.
a kid with like all knowing, all
right.
powers,
I am
but
the son
still
of God.
Being like a horrible 4-year-old,
totally.
Like raising a
right.
ruckus as they are wont to do.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun. So
like,
we wanted to think about like what would we want to know?
Yeah. So if we were to, and again, kind of a quick little disclaimer.
Yes.
This conversation may well have been inspired by some of the readings that we have from the Gospel According to Biff, which we always mention.
Christopher Moore,
Lamb, if it's a book that you have not read, go out and read
yeah.
it. And it may well lead us to give away a few spoilers kind of in our conversation about this. But when you think about like the story of Jesus in the gap years, right, from birth all the way to the beginning of the ministry, you and I can't think about it without thinking of the way that Chris Moore portrayed it.
Yeah, I try not to,
yeah.
but I do want to always give him kind of credit
yeah.
because it is such an enticing like little nugget of like years of like this huge
His
central figure in
with
history.
The people around him are what are so fascinating.
He fleshes him out,
yeah.
but honestly, like he's got as much, you know, right to that as anybody.
Totally. It's fiction.
So it's imagination.
So if we were to kind of reimagine or just imagine the
yeah.
years of Jesus' life that we don't know anything about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Moving
mm-hmm.
from the infancy narratives and then, you know, knowing just a little bit about the presentation and the
temple.
Finding in the temple, then what would we want to know about from the life of Jesus?
All right. So we each wrote down a couple things.
Right. So top 10 things we would love to hear about
to go,
from the life
shall
of Jesus.
I start one?
Go ahead. Start it up. Start
okay.
It up.
Well, there's, yep. you know, just kind of a basic one that most parents, especially like our firstborn kid, like what would be in his baby book? Like what was Jesus's first word?
Yeah.
Or was he like...
Totally.
Or was he like a genius and like didn't speak until he spoke in sentences? Or like
right.
was he very precocious and wordy? Like, I don't know. It could go either way.
Right. Like, there's part of me that wants Jesus' first word to be like, you know, peace, you
right.
know, because it's like, that would be very in line with his entire life. But there's also part of me that's like, I want Jesus' first word to be like, bitch, please, you know, like something,
yeah, mother,
right, you know, like something very distinct that, yeah, would be like, nope, this child is, yeah, not like others.
I feel like he would have been precocious, so I would like to know his first, yeah, word or words. Totally. How about you?
Well, so a classic story of most people's lives that I think would be fascinating when you talk about Jesus. And mm-hmm. again, this is where we tiptoe up to that line of heresy, and people may not like, but like, what was Jesus like? Jesus was a human. Understood all of the full spectrum of human experience. He must have had some sort of like feelings towards, yeah, other people. Like,
sure,
what would Jesus's awkward first kiss be like?
Oh,
like,
you thought,
what would, like, imagine Jesus at like some sort of weird, yeah, like junior high dance doesn't really apply because he already
walking in the
like
caravan
working by that point, right? But yeah, like at what point did he look at a girl and be like, I want to meet her by the wishing well, and like, yeah, you know, like
Jesus' first crush
under
kinda
the bleachers. Yeah, like, okay, first kiss, first crush, like something like that would be kind of fun to hear about, because I feel like it would very much humanize this person that we don't always think of that way.
Yeah, and I think he would have had those feelings, acted totally on or not. Like, there was cultural constraints, but
yeah,
yeah. And again, who did Jesus crush on?
Huge,
I would like to know that.
Huge
too.
Theme in Lamb, like as far as, yeah, like, was he even allowed to do these? Like, where's the line when you are not, yeah, allowed to be sinful, but you're allowed to be a human?
But you wouldn't even have desire to be sinful,
right? Well, and can you sin if you are God? Can,
yeah,
you violate,
these are,
God's rules?
These are real deep questions.
God's rules are my rules.
Well,
just
kind
like,
of related.
Just like our president and the Justice Department.
Okay.
Can you actually be violating the law?
Yes. Yes, you bloody well can, because you are not actually the
so
son
not just
of
like
the Most
that,
High.
Apparently. Okay.
All right. So there, related to that, though, I actually was like, what would the birds and the bees conversation between Mary,
ooh,
Joseph, and Jesus have been like?
One.
Like, how do you sit down this?
Yeah.
You know, and Mary is, you know, holy in herself, and Joseph,
right,
is too. And like, okay, Jesus, like, you may not have these urges, and we didn't do this to,
right,
make you,
yeah,
wink, wink.
Right.
But this is how, I mean, I guess if he was like out in the field, like, he would have seen sheep like boning, so he would know.
You're giving Mary and Joseph a lot of credit there, because I feel like that would be Joseph's job to sit down and be like, all right, Jesus, here's the way it works. This is a wiener.
True. That would be man to
girls
man.
Girls don't have one. But then eventually, like,
yeah,
Jesus will be like, so, you know, like, what's going on with you and mom? Like
how
at some
do you
point,
explain that relational part of it even?
I feel like inevitably, yeah, if Joseph tries to tackle it by himself, it ends with, ask your mother, right? Like,
totally,
you have
like,
to go talk to your mom.
And the stories that we do have, like, Mary is very involved. Like, I don't think,
yeah,
she was outsourcing many parental,
okay,
duties to,
okay,
Joseph.
Fair enough.
So that's my question.
Okay.
All right. How about you?
I would love an episode of Jesus's Bar Mitzvah, which I know,
okay,
did not really exist at the time of Jesus, but a weird little pubescent, like, voice-breaking, Baruch atah, like, I want
reading
Jesus to be, like, whatever his coming of age was, you know, whether it was maybe first day of work with Joseph, you know, going out on the job or whatever, but, like, something that says, like, this is Jesus out of his element, like, too young to really be tackling it, but everybody says, like, it's time to go and do this thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, Bar Mitzvah is kind of what that represents, you know,
mm-hmm,
like, it's your time to proclaim the scriptures, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know.
Yeah. I, along those lines, one of mine was, I want to know about, like, his, like, Hebrew school misadventures, because,
yeah,
I think I'm a little,
right,
influenced by the non-canonical Gospel of Thomas, where it's, like, did he get, like, I feel like he may have gotten into some little misadventures,
right,
instead of, like, reciting the Torah, like, he'd be doing something he
totally
shouldn't be,
like,
or,
smoking,
like,
cigarettes,
like,
under the bleachers or something like that, yeah.
Or just, like, mischief, you,
yeah,
know? Like, I feel that he may have been mischievous because he is kind of,
yeah,
he's, we know he's witty and humorous. Like, what kind of kid was he in Hebrew school? I think he may have been the class clown.
So that's along those same lines I had. I would love to hear the story of Jesus's first violation of Mosaic law, right?
Oh,
like
wait,
doing
you
something
think that the Lord
that is
broke
unclean.
The Ten Commandments?
Absolutely, because
oh
he was not a fan of Mosaic law. Maybe not
that's
the Ten
true
Commandments, right?
Okay.
But like all
he
600
like, oh, the
Mosaic
pharisaical
law
kind,
yeah,
of
like
stuff.
The whole,
he's not washing his hands enough.
Right,
yeah,
exactly. Like,
okay,
the first time where he just looked at, like, I know that I'm supposed to do this in order to be, like, quote-unquote clean.
Yes.
But fuck it.
His,
like,
first rebellion.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because we know that he did it later,
oh,
in life.
Oh, for sure.
Well,
and
we don't know, but the Gospels tell us that he did it later in life.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. That I
like
would
the
like
first
to
time
know
where he was
his
just like, you know what? This is some bullshit. Like, Peter, we kind of have the story of him having this dream. Like, you don't have to eat only what's clean. You can,
yeah,
eat what's unclean. It's not about what goes into you. It's about what comes out of you. So I want to know, at what point did Jesus be like, nope, yeah, not getting in the mikvah today?
And my logic is, I don't have to because I'm God.
Right, yeah, exactly, exactly.
All right, that'd be good. I also, you know, kind of am just curious about, like, as he was older, like, his friends and, like, what kind of guy he was. Like, yeah, you know, like, the teenager Jesus, like, right, we can think of, like, different kinds of teenager people. And there's, like, you know, not to be too stereotypical, but there are, like, types of kids. Like, what kind of teenager kid was Jesus? Like, was he, like, a good guy, or was he more of, like, a jock, whatever a jock would be in there? Was he, like, super nerdy, or was he a loner? Like, was Jesus very broody?
I don't know. I would like to know. What kind of kid
was he? Yeah, he might have been, like, emo Jesus.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
It's tough to tell.
I feel that he was sarcastic.
So, kind of going along with, I feel like he was, too.
I hope he was
probably really,
like, that might be our own bias showing through.
The stories of Jesus as an older man, and, yeah, you know, speaking from experience, your older self does not always give a proper reflection of your high school self. But, like, you know, like, people were drawn to him. You know, he kind of had this quality.
Yeah, like, he would have been charming.
Right.
But there had to be, like, some edge to him.
There may have been
him.
Some, like, awkward years. Yeah, wouldn't you love... And maybe he wasn't always somebody that was, like, gregarious or, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I would like to know, like, the snapshot of, like, and he would have been working by the time he was, like, a later teenager. So, like, what kind of kid were you, Jesus?
Totally. The one that I wrote down kind of along the same lines in terms of, like the teenage years, like, where you start to rebel against authority and things like that. Like, I wrote down first speeding ticket because I would love to hear about, like...
like the local law.
Essentially, yeah. Like, instead of the first violation of Mosaic law, like, what's his first violation of Roman law, right? He was also not a fan of those. But, like, you know, like, I imagine... Because that's when I think about the... you know, the period in my life where I was, like, learning how to fight the law and that the law will win. The first speeding ticket was kind of an important step in that to be like, I came home, I remember, and was like, you know, I thought the whole way home, like, about how am I going to break this to my parents? Like, oh my gosh, like, I just got a speeding ticket. And I happened to walk in the door at the same time that an unnamed family member had just broken the news to my parents that he or she had been, like, arrested. Not, like, not, like, taken downtown.
And but, like, heavens opened and saying to you.
And I literally, I didn't hear anything. I was like, my best way to play this is to walk in and just hold it up and go, I got a speeding ticket. Like, I walked in and I'm like, I just got a speeding ticket. And my parents were like, that's good. We don't care. And I was like, I will be in my room, right? Like, so what was Jesus's first time where he realized, like, there's a law, I broke it, you know, like, not Mosaic law, but, like, the law of the land,
which
at the time would have been Romans.
And that would have been a little higher stakes, you know, as, like, as a conquered people. Yeah. He didn't have all the rights that, like, a Roman citizen had.
When was he first reprimanded by, like, a centurion? Being like, meh, you were driving that chariot and 30 in a 25, you know.
Or, like, being somewhere you shouldn't be, you know?
Totally.
And there are some funny stories in Lamb about kind of Jesus' interaction with the Romans.
Exactly.
But we don't really know. And along those lines, my last one was, like, did he actually apprentice as, like, a worker of stone or of carpentry, whatever? Like, what kind of work was he doing?
Yeah. And first job. Yeah.
Yeah. And did he like it? Like, is that part of the reason he was, like, was he always called to ministry and, like, had to, like, pay the bills or help out at home? Like, what was his working life about?
Interesting, yeah.
Because it ends sort of abruptly.
It does.
Like, he decides to get baptized, but we don't really know why.
Yeah.
Was he, like, walking away from a good job? Did he get his ass fired? Like, what happened?
And the Gospels say that, like, when he went back to his hometown, they were basically like, isn't this, like, Joseph's son, like, the laborer, the worker?
Right,
so, like,
right,
he had a career, you know, and gave it up to go do something different.
And maybe it wasn't that great of a career. I don't know.
Well, my last one was, I would like to know about Jesus's first drunk, like, the first time, because we know that he liked his wine.
What kind of drunk was Jesus? That's a great question.
Right? Like, we know that Jesus liked to hang out with his buddies and knock a few back.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the first time that he went out. Yeah. Everybody remembers going out for the first time.
Little
and
sloppy
drinks with your friends,
young
right?
Jesus.
Yeah, like, his buddies had to take care of him. Like, he's puking in the bushes and stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
And there are some episodes along those lines in Lamb. But I don't, that's not really they don't set it up as the first time. Like, what was Jesus' first time, like, hitting the bottle?
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, what kind of party guy was he?
Right.
Yeah. No, those are fun things to think about because I'm sure he did a lot of those things.
Yeah. Yeah, the gospel according to Jack Daniel. Yeah. So that's our top 10 of what we'd love to hear from the missing years of Jesus's life.
We'd love to hear what you would like to know.
Yeah. It's fun to think about because we know that Jesus was a real person. I always try to remind people, like, you know, Jesus was, like, not just an adult who had a mission and a task. Jesus was a kid. Jesus was an awkward teenager. Jesus had to figure out all the things that the rest of us had to figure out. So it's fun to think about. Let your imagination run wild a little bit.
And that can be a holy imaginative exercise for you.
Totally. Totally.
Prayer, hashtag Ignatian spirituality.
Totally Ignatian. Yeah. Prayer and imagination.
All right.
So hit us up on Twitter at ChurchDrunkPod if you have ideas about what you think Jesus's most interesting life stories would be.
You can email us at churchdrunk@gmail.com and ask us a question or tell us your opinion.
Yeah.
And you can read the blog, churchdrunk.com.
We'll post a few things. And we'll be back next week with another podcast episode from Church Drunk. Church Drunk, there's a thing that we say at the end of every one.
Called an outro. Guess picked a really good one.
It is Church Drunk. It's like a dirty martini baptismal font. And we are your two stuffed olives. Cheers.
Peace.